Good evening. I call this April 2nd meeting of the Planning Commission's order. My name is Darrell Boziger. I am the chairman of the Planning Commission. It's my pleasure to welcome you here. This is a public meeting and you are encouraged to take part of the process. Please participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. We have several rules to help us proceed with an orderly meeting and I ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, please step out of the chamber. When you wish to speak, raise your hand. I'll recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have an opportunity to speak. However, I'll focus on your comments and I'll try to keep track of your time. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is posted at both exits. I now call for a roll call of members.
Boziger?
Here.
Waleska?
Here.
Pounds?
Here.
Kading?
Here.
Huber?
Here.
Radner?
Here.
Schroeder?
Here.
Boswell? Heinrich?
Item number 3, approval of the minutes for the March 5th meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Radner, second by Schroeder to approve the minutes. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Item 4. I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Sherry Yost, 2701 Kretschy Boulevard, Blair, Nebraska, to allow art lessons for up to 10 students and as many as 20 students in the summer on Lot 57, Transformation Hill Edition, City of Blair, 2701 Kretschy Boulevard, Washington County, Nebraska, for 1 year. Jeff.
Good evening, Chair Boziger and committee members. Our one item tonight is a conditional use permit. First of all, there's been one letter of protest that would be in your packet. On your desks are a letter we received later on today, an email that I would that probably needs to be motioned to put on file.
Hold on a second, Jeff.
We have a motion to put a letter on file?
Hold on a
second. Oh.
You have that good bohemian stuff, Kretschy Boulevard.
Kretschy. That's probably never good, right?
Okay.
So, do you want to make a motion to put on file?
I'll make a motion for on file.
Second.
Motion by Kading, second by Pounds.
Waleska.
Waleska, to put the on file. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Thank you. Okay, first we will go a little bit through the background on this. This conditional use permit is up on Kretschy Boulevard in the northwest part of town, part of the Transformation Hill subdivision. Location is 2701 Kretschy Boulevard. Zoning overlay is RM residential medium density with that PUD overlay. In RM district, that home occupation does require a conditional use permit. Or in this case, when the use is not considered a home occupation, but, and here's a quote, music, art, dance, and educational instruction or tutoring for more than 4 students at a time, it does need a conditional use permit. I do want to make one quick apology. There were several notices sent out with the word of piano lessons, and that was an error on my part, probably something left over from childhood trauma. That being said, this is, as you can see, a piano, art, dance, all in one area, requiring this conditional use permit. Street parking is on one side of Kretschy Boulevard only. This class is taught in the dining room only. We'll get to that, more of that in a little bit. Usually 7 students, but no more than 10 are there 3 times per week. Another time, 6 to 10 students are there on ladies' night, usually 6 to 10 p.m., and that is once a month. And then Saturdays, they have a two-hour time block set aside for birthday parties. This has come from Ms. Yost, has given me this information. This is the location of zoning overlay. They are in the RM area. The PUD does not really affect them in the fact of this conditional use permit. They are bordered by high density and medium density on that side, but pretty much all by a medium density here with their property in red. Over there for right there. Closer look, this is the built-out Transformation Hill neighborhood. The Yost property is on the corner here, 271, outlined in red. It's a little bit closer view of the property, again, just showing that it's been a while since the photos were taken. This is a picture of going into the neighborhood from the roundabout, parking on this side of the street, and this is the Yost house here. This was sent by Ms. Yost. This shows all the areas that they used, you know, like the bathrooms, the waiting room, or the family room for the kitchen. But really, classes are taught only in that dining room, which is 120 square feet. And that is important because as we get into some of the actual language of why this is a conditional use permit, there's one thing that says anything more than 250 square feet means it's a business. Well, they are actually only using 10 by 12. For the actual teaching. Again, they use the family room for waiting, the bathroom, the kitchen for snacks. Okay, so the home occupation. This means any commercial use, and you can read up there, this is why we're here. Does that change the character of the area? And these are an entire list of things that we go through to determine if this is a home occupation or a business. Right here talks about no more than 20% of square footage, or no more than 250 square feet. And at 120 square feet, they're okay on that. So they've pretty much met all these areas down here, except when it gets down to at the very, very end. In fact, it would have been better if started at the end and gone forward. It says, the following are not deemed home occupation may be concluded without the necessity of special use permit. Number 3, music, art, dance, education structures. No more than 4 students at a time, and therein lies the issue with these, with the complaints we received and why this is coming to conditions from that. Because Ms. Yost has talked about that at times there were 7 students 3 times a week, maybe 6 to 10 during ladies' night once a month, and then the summer birthday parties. That is a reason we need to talk about why she should have a special use permit and why you will be deciding after hearing everybody else on whether or not they should go through or not. Trying to think what else we can talk about. You know, there will probably be people from throughout the city who will be talking about this, but this really impacts the neighborhood themselves. I mean, as it talks about one of the areas, you know, does not infringe upon the rights of the neighborhood residents to enjoy peaceful health education. With that, I'm going to open up to any questions from Commission. So I do want to add one thing. There is covenants in Transformation Hill. And number 5 is pointed out in your letter of protest received today. Number 5 says no home business. The city does not enforce covenants. This is a private contract. That being said, yes. Sorry.
Sore subject.
Yes, sorry about that. We're the declarants on this subdivision because we don't create it. However, once all 10 lots are sold, we no longer have that declarant power. We have one lot that is just in the process, it's been built on. We're trying to get rid of it as quickly as possible, which is why we do not really enforce the covenants on this. We did send out a letter of complaint. There was a neighbor, the Yost, that have a camper in the backyard who said, just let me know, covenants say you can't have it here. But as far as enforcing it, there's not much more we can do than that. Covenants also say that any home member, any person in that neighborhood has the right to enforce it. But again, that would be a private contract, a private ordeal. So that is why the city is not saying you can't. That's why the city is now saying, yes, you can come in for a conditional use permit, even though the covenants say you can't have your business there. Okay, any questions? Yes, sir.
Is there any type of homeowners association that is running that facility out there at this point in time?
Not at this point. As soon as we can, we will turn it over. There is in the covenant in the back a process for to turn this over to the homeowners out there to vote to whether or not they want to obtain that. Again, that would be a private matter.
But it sounds like it's falling on us, though, because there isn't one.
Not really, because the covenants do say once all your lots are sold, the city no longer is the declarant. And that last lot has been built on and in the process of being sold as we speak. So we're not looking at enforcing these covenants. If somebody from the home or from the homes around that part of this wants to do that later on, depending on how the vote goes, that is their prerogative.
There's nothing in here that says something about parking, right? In all this stuff for a
there is not.
Home occupation.
It talks about employees, you know, commercial vehicles shall not generate pedestrian vehicle traffic beyond the normal. And this would be the evaluation of the home occupation. You can say that this does create more, which is again why they are here in front of the Planning Commission. No indoor storage, does not involve more, it's no special tools in our class. I believe they have a dining room table, and that's the studio. They set up in the dining room, they have class, and then they just go back to using it as a dining room. Anything that says in here specifically about parking, no, nothing specific to that saying X amount per person or per feet or X amount.
What about the covenants? Yeah. Is there anything in the covenants about parking?
I don't know. I'd have to look and read.
Okay.
And I could do that while I'm sitting waiting.
Any more questions, staff? Thank you, Jeff. Anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue?
My name is Randy Prime, P-R-I-N-E, and I am at 2702 Cratchy Boulevard, directly across from the applicant. So we would like to formally protest having any business in Transformation Hill, as we purchased our property first with the understanding the covenants would be enforced. And they're currently in violation of subsection 5, as discussed. Also, subsection 6, no obnoxious or offensive activities, and subsection 6, external lights and signs must be indirect. They have an open sign that faces our house. Additionally, Article 1, Section 1, says each lot shall be used exclusively for single-family residential purposes, not for classes. Also, we have a 2-year-old. And the traffic generated by 20 people over a 2-hour period is significant for this neighborhood, especially as we dead end. There's nowhere for them to turn around and leave. There is a gas propane tank at the end of the block, and a lot of people try and turn around there, but when it's wet and muddy, they may not be able to get out. Also, with Ladies' Night, they are providing alcohol, which requires a permit to do that. So these are the things that we are protesting.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this issue?
Erica Chada, C-A-D-A, and I live at 2754 Creechy Boulevard, next to those two empty-ish lots. I just want to share that there's, I think, been some misunderstanding amongst people in the community. All of us fully support a creative opportunity for children. All of us support what she's doing, but it's not safe in our neighborhood. If cars choose to park on both sides of the street, that is illegal, but we don't have a policeman manning it 24/7. It happens. And when there are that many cars, there's a very good possibility that you cannot get in or out of the neighborhood. That includes ambulances, fire trucks, police, etc. When there are 10, 12 cars on that street parked on one side, that fills almost the entire street. And that doesn't leave any room for the rest of us to have any guests. So I just want it to be understood that it has nothing to do with what she is doing. It is a worthy cause. We all want children to have this opportunity, but it is just not safe in the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Doug Flegel. Can I do this? 2777 Creche Boulevard. I kind of just...
Can you spell your last name, please?
F-L-E-G-L-E.
Thank you.
I just kind of want to reiterate what they were talking about. Like, my main concern is not with art, it's with the traffic and the constant cars turning around. If they don't even want to go all the way to the end, they're going to turn around in our driveways. I have two little kids. I'm not trying to put them in any more risk than already, you know, is available in a street in general, especially at a dead-end street. It's just, you know, it is a safety concern. And, like, we would have never even noticed or brought it up if it wasn't jamming the street right at the roundabout, you know, that all of us have to go in and out of. Like, we've already got construction to deal with this summer, too. So, I mean, it's just, like she said, it's not safe. I mean, again, I love what she does. I just, where she's doing it is not ideal, is what I would say.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this issue? No, I got someone. I'll get to you.
My name's Jennifer Thalman, T-H-A-L-M-A-N. My address is 2765 Creche Boulevard. I am the one that sent the email. But I would also like to reiterate that I think this type of business is a wonderful opportunity for kids. I would have loved that for my kids when they were younger. And it's not the business itself. It's when we moved into the neighborhood, part of the reason we moved there was that there was some standards in the covenants because we came from a neighborhood where it was just chaotic. And we enjoy that there is some standards set for the community. So again, I don't mind the business. I just don't think it should be ran out of a residential area. And that's it.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm Sherry Yost, the yucky business owner.
Spell your last name, please.
Y-O-S-T.
And the address? I know it's on here.
201 Creche Boulevard. I apologize that it has to come to a meeting. Always in neighborhoods, people have always just come to me if there was a problem, and we could have addressed them right away. We understand everybody's problems, and I didn't know these would come up until we lived it, okay? I didn't know there was a covenant when we purchased the house. That was what brought to our attention. But, you know, it is what it is. So with that, and I've bought no parking signs. I'm requesting use of the parking lot across the way for when I do my summer art camp, but as far as clogging up the neighborhood, I had one event where there were a lot of cars, and I haven't had that big of an event again. It was kind of a welcome, come see thing. The neon sign, I apologize for that. I can turn it off. I can have just one in my door to flip it around. So all these problems can be resolved so that the kids can still have something fun to do, have a birthday party. We can park over in the lot across the way, but my normal day-to-day stuff they pull up in our driveway, drop their kid off, and leave. We're not blocking anybody. We're not in anybody's way as far as my customers. Anything else I need to add? Yeah, we could expand the driveway, but I'm not sure if we're allowed to do that. But I will do whatever I need to make my neighbors happy, because I want everyone happy to do this. But taking this away from myself and the kids, it's sad. I've been doing it for so many years in Omaha, and it wasn't a big deal. I did it before, and it wasn't a big deal. So let me know if there's anything else I can do to make it better, to keep it. Otherwise, it's up to you for your vote.
You said that the kids get dropped off, but it sounds like sometimes there's a lot of cars parked there. Is there a particular time that a lot of cars park?
Like if there's a birthday party, I never have kids that are over 10 kids. They might park at the end of our driveway. But like I said, I can't monitor their parking when they're picking their kids up. So I bought a bunch of no parking signs that I'd love to give everybody. Or if we could get the no parking on the side of the street sign farther up, because it's four houses down before you even see it on the side. And as far as ladies' night alcohol, I don't sell it. They can bring it if they want, like they're hanging out with me. I do not sell it.
Any other questions of the applicant?
Do you still have a studio uptown or no? Because
previously
you had one, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And then when you guys moved, you gave that spot
moved
up?
Or? Solely to do
okay.
This.
Okay. Thank you.
So you don't have plans to move into another studio somewhere?
No. I want to keep my prices reasonable for the community, and my rent just kept getting raised. I don't do it for the money. I teach during the day. I do it for fun. Provide another opportunity of something fun in town that we don't have to drive to Omaha to.
Do you plan on growing?
No. I don't know. I'm getting too old. This size is good for me.
How big are your summer classes?
I keep them at 20.
20 kids?
Mm-hmm. And I start, when I've done it in a house before, the kids are ready to go 11:45. It goes from 9 after everybody's gone to work, the way I've planned it. And then they leave at noon, and parents stagger. And so I just have the kids ready at 11:45, and when we see their car, they go out, so we're not clogging anybody up. But it's all during the day.
This says the applicant says up to 10 students, but it may be as many as 20 students. Doesn't sound like 4 students when you first came up, so kind of curious about that.
The 20 students is for summer art camp. I do 5 sessions, 9 to noon during the summer, and that's it. Otherwise, my weekly classes and the birthday parties never go over 10.
I still feel like that's a lot. Even if somebody's picking up and pulling in your driveway, somebody else might be right behind them. And does that person then have to go down to turn around to wait to get into your driveway to pick up the next kid?
Possibly.
Okay.
I haven't had to deal with that yet. They've come. I'm open in a 2-hour span, and they pick the hour that works best for them. So some are dropped off at 5:15, some are dropped off at 5:30, and their hour goes from there. And none of them are up to 10. Like my Monday, I have 2. One in the second session. My largest one right now is Tuesday evening from 6 to 7, and I have 8.
You had mentioned possibly using like a parking across the street. Where is that on the map? I guess I'm not seeing it. Is it off of the map here?
Past the roundabout down at the ball fields.
The ball fields.
The ball field, yeah. We don't have
this area right here.
Okay.
Yeah, on the field.
Right
6.
Yeah. Okay.
Both fields.
Okay, perfect, thanks.
Anything else of the applicant?
I don't think so.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak on this issue?
Come on up.
Why don't you take you first? I'll get the others to come up.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. My name is Aparanda Anderson, spelled with an S-E-N. I live at 800 North 14th Avenue, so way across town. I'd like to speak on behalf of Mrs. Yost. She's a school teacher here in town. She's a published illustrator. The opportunity that our kids have to be taught by her is exceptional. My daughter was one of her first art students at her studio when she was first on Main Street. And if my memory serves me correctly, she moved from that location to a different location because she was concerned foremost about the students, the kids, on such a busy highway. So then she moved to a different location, which seemed to work out great, but as she mentioned, prices increased. She's a school teacher. She wants to keep her rates affordable so that she can have the kids that are interested in attending. Both of my children attend her classes in home. My daughter is the one student that appears on 6 to 7 for Monday nights, and then my son goes on Wednesday evenings. And what she's saying is accurate. During the week, there's very little traffic because of the staggering times. And it's not that we sign up for time specifically, it's just that we know that she's available in that 2-hour span. It ebbs and flows a little bit with season. During the summer, attendance drops, partly because she is able to do the camps, but also because we just all know that sports take over in the summer, right, for people who have kids. And the inside activities tend to fall lower on the priority list. I understand the neighborhood concern, believe me. I live on 14th Avenue. We bought our house because it was not a through street, and it was in between the two elementary schools. But then the school board decided to combine schools, and now my street is the lineup street for Arbor Park. So I can't even get to my home between the times of 2:45 and 3:20 because of school traffic. So I completely empathize with neighbors when they buy a house in a neighborhood and then traffic changes without their knowledge or ability to change. I guess my request would be if there can be an experimental time frame where this can be granted for even a year so we can experience full seasonality and reassess at that time to see what type of impact this home business, because I'm not sure what else to call it, even though it doesn't probably technically qualify as a business, would have on the neighbors. I also truly know Mrs. Yost as a person. She's a personal friend of mine, and I know that she's willing to work with anybody on complaints to find the best situation for everybody involved. My fear is that if she's not able to find a studio where she can have the facility that she needs with a consistent price, that we will have yet another small business go out of town or out of business in Blair, which robs all of the kids that want the opportunity to be taught by somebody as exceptional as Mrs. Yost of that chance. That's all I have if anybody has questions.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mandy Prine. P-R-I-N-E. I live on 2702 Krejci Boulevard. And I fully agree that this is an awesome business, just not in a residential neighborhood on a dead-end road with limited parking. It just started baseball season, so unfortunately that parking lot is going to be full the majority of the time that she's potentially open. So that's my only add to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Eric Warner, W-A-R-N-E-R. I live at 1016 Flynn Drive. I just want to stop speaking on behalf of a friend.
our daughter June goes to her classes and has gone to them since she was at her studio and now at her home. And so I guess I wanted to confirm that any night I came to drop off June at her house, I pulled right in the driveway, I walked her in, came out, and I pulled out and left. And last couple times I haven't walked in with her just to make it a little quicker, but I've never had a problem in those type of situations. So, and then as far as the parking down by the baseball field, is that if that was full, filled up, we could park up higher up on Dana Hill as well if we needed to walk, and I'd be willing to do that if it was ever full. So I just think it's a great opportunity for my daughter and hopefully soon my son Harvey. So thank you.
Thank you. Someone over here was, someone over here raise their hands. Take the one in back.
My voice is shot, sorry. Lee Thalman, T-H-A-L-M-A-N, 2765 Cretchy Boulevard. I would say that everybody on the street so far has said that they're against this. People that don't live there, I get it. We all want to have great businesses and kids want to do things. All my kids were in dance studios here with Jill, Miss Jill and Blair. She had to raise prices, moved multiple times. We paid it because she was a good teacher. If it's not allowed to have it, we did things the right way. We live with the shop behind it. We had two kids at home. When we first moved in, we were the first one on that street. We extended the driveway, cost thousands of dollars so they could park on the driveway. And had it all done with permits and everything, 3 foot off the property line, all that. The fence, everything. We did everything the right way to not annoy anybody. So I would just say that everybody that has spoken doesn't want it. And it leaves it to us to police. And I'm not a cop, nor I want to be. Whether she has 4 people, 10, and to say that you only have 4 people, or 10 people, or 20 people in a 10 by 12 dining room so you can meet the requirements of whatever that he was saying is not true. You can't shove 10 people into a 10 by 12 room and teach them anything, I don't think. And we're supposed to see it. I've been in that house, it's not that big. But I do wish her the best. I mean, you just, people pay more if you have a product that is sellable. So, but I have nothing against them. I never met them, but that's all I gotta say. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there somebody else?
My name is Charlotte Wells, W-E-L-L-S. I live at 11081 Arrowhead Drive, nowhere near here. But I go to her camp almost every summer and I enjoy it very, very much. I learn a ton from her, and at Arbor, I also go to her school. So I go to Arbor and I learn from her at school, but I feel like in summer, that's what I look forward to. I just love her camp and I love learning from her. And when she was at the studio with the parking, I feel like it always went very quickly. The kids would get out of the car quickly because they were so excited to get there and learn, and they were just so excited to be there. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Caroline Moseman, M-O-S-E-M-A-N. I live at 11451 Ridge Drive. I'm speaking on behalf of the art room. My sons have improved significantly in art with Sherry Oates both as their teacher at the art room as well as at the schools. And as I realize I don't live in the neighborhood, but as someone who lives in a neighborhood, I don't actually get to decide whether or not my neighbors have people over. I realize I don't live in this exact neighborhood, but you have people who have parties for whatever reason, and you don't get to dictate whether or not they get to have people parking where it's permitted. So if they are allowed to park on one side of the street, because you have guests and want to have your guests park there, doesn't mean you get to stop your neighbors from having people park there, regardless of if that's for a business reason or otherwise. And even as we saw in the rules, there was nothing about excessive parking or there's too many people parking here or too many people turning around. That is not part of the reasons that a business should be forbidden from doing something. And in Mrs. Yost's previous location, there wasn't a significant amount of parking. It wasn't like it was just her parking and she had 40 spots. So we're not talking about 40 cars parking at any given time. As someone who has sent her children to the art camps, it is literally, you drive up, you drop someone off, you move. It's not like you're lingering there, except for very specific occasions, which is the same as if someone had a party. If I have a party on Memorial Day, does that mean I'm not allowed to have 20 people because they want to have the same parking? I mean, that's just not how it works in the neighborhood. And I think that keeping Sherry Yost from having a studio would be a great disservice to the city of Blair. We really don't have a lot of things here for children to do. She provides opportunities, and I know for a fact that she would never do anything that would cause another child on her street to be unsafe. She's already indicated ways that she could help if her neighbors would just speak with her directly. They can work out problems. So I would agree that I think it would make sense to give her at least an opportunity to, if she needs to, put up no parking signs and different things, communicate with the parents. I mean, we all can communicate directly with her as well if we need to park other places, that kind of thing. Aiden?
Aiden,
you got to tell me your name and where you live. Do you remember your address?
Yeah. My name is Aiden.
Aiden Dame.
Aiden Dame. I live at 6788 County Road P35. And I go to the art room, and every single time I've been there, the cars only stay there for 2 minutes and just leave. It's not like they're there pulling up the traffic, and it's not like it's going to change your whole entire life just by 2 minutes. I forgot another thing. And also, it helped the mentality of children by making their minds bigger and letting them explore new things and doing other stuff. And so they're more happy and have more fun in their life.
All right.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue?
My name is Andrea Wells, WELLS. My address is 11081 Arrowhead Drive. I'm being bullied by my children to come in and talk, but I'm here in support of Mrs. Yost and the art room. I understand I don't live in the neighborhood. I understand the parking. I understand the traffic. I get it. I live in Lakeland. Anybody's ever been there?
Yeah.
It's trash can parking. It's awful. Streets aren't wide enough. Like, I get it. But I also feel like, based on what Mrs. Yost said, she's willing to do whatever it takes to accommodate the extra traffic. You know, it sounds like she's going to direct people to park elsewhere. You know, maybe, you know, she even talked about extending her driveway, doing things like that. I think she should at least be given the opportunity. It sounds like this is like a 1-year conditional use permit. Give her the opportunity for the year to make changes to accommodate the extra traffic and things like that. And I would hate to see the art room go away, because I'm sure everybody here knows the economy also sucks. So, like, I get it why she moved it to her house, because rent's atrocious, things are atrocious. She's just trying to provide things for these kids. I mean, Blair has nothing for kids to do. Like, the art room is basically it. And I know somebody mentioned, if you have a good product, people will pay the price. That's clearly, like, it's not true. We've had a bowling alley before. We've had other things before that they've just gone out of business. It just doesn't get the local support. So I think it's important for her to keep her prices reasonable. And if this is a way to do it, give her the opportunity.
Thank you. Do I see someone else that wants to speak? Oh.
Hi, my name is Shannon Pokorski, P-O-K-O-R-S-K-I. I live down in Fort Calhoun. I don't know if you need the address.
Yes.
Okay, 1279 U.S. Highway 75. I'm here to speak on behalf of Cheryl and the Fort Calhoun community. In Fort Calhoun, we don't have art classes for our students in the elementary school. I have known several parents that have brought their children to Mrs. Yost, and they all love it. It's not an opportunity that we have in Calhoun. We love the closeness to Blair to be able to do that. Our next closest opportunity is way down in Omaha to do that. I think it'd be a big disservice to Fort Calhoun as well if you deny her this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Arrowhead Drive.
I love the art
room very, very much, but my birthday's gonna be there.
Go ahead.
How's it going? Sorry to extend this a little bit. Randy Prine again, P-R-I-N-E, from 2702 Crouchy Boulevard. I would like to present you a picture of the five Yost family vehicles, and I would like for you to show me where someone could pull into their driveway and turn around. All five of the vehicles in this picture are Yost family vehicles.
You can pass it around.
Thank you. Also, the covenants speak of a fair use on street parking, and occupying two spaces continually is not fair use. Thus, occupying 20 spaces, again, is not fair use. So, that's
all. Okay, thanks. We'll look at the picture. One lady behind you.
Sherry or Shelly?
Shelly.
Me.
Yeah, me. You had your hand up first.
My name is Shelly Scobie, S-C-H-O-B-Y. I live at 2924 West Church Drive, and I've taught at Blair Schools for many, many years of art. When we chose Blair Community Schools to send our children to be educated, we looked at Alcorn, we looked at Gretna, we looked at Millard, all these areas, and then we found Blair. We came from Iowa. We looked at what was offered to the kids. It was a safe community. At the time, they even had a fine arts play area. I don't know if maybe some of you are from here and you participated in that. Unfortunately, that closed. Now we have something for kids that are not involved in sports. My kids were involved in sports, but as an art teacher, they had the opportunity to have access to the fine arts. For people that don't, kids that don't participate in the fine arts, sports, this is a wonderful opportunity for them to experience this from an educated person. And I understand that it's not really a business. She's not making money from this at all. She's, and I have to tell you honestly, I was at her house the other day and I pulled into her driveway and there were five cars there. And I pulled out after I visited with Sherry. I understand it's a neighborhood. I know she's at the end of the neighborhood. I just think you guys, as a community and as a city council, you should be looking at how you can pull people, advertise and pull people from outside of Blair to this community, and this be one thing. And that's what attracted us to this town. Besides, it was small and the people are wonderful here. And the schools are fantastic. But you have to have more, and if this goes away, what's left besides sports? And Sherry's willing to make any adaptions she can to parking and anything else. And my goodness, there's a huge parking lot at the top of the hill that parents can go to that's not being used. I mean, it's just growing weeds. So, I mean, for 1 year, give her a chance. I mean, let the children be able to learn art, experience something different than what's in their school everyday activities. I just be open-minded, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to respond to some of these things? Come on up.
Sherry Yost, Y-O-S-T, 2701.
I don't want to do this.
Speak to us, please, and they can hear, hopefully.
I don't want to do this if it's going to cause a lot of animosity of where I want my home to be, along with my business. If people had come and talked to me personally, I could have taken care of all this. And as far as the cars, yes, my one daughter is a senior in high school. She parks in the street, she goes a lot, she drives it to work. The other one is in college. She came home this weekend, which I'm sure is when he took the picture, and we gave her a new car for her birthday. And so the other one is getting trashed, and she's not here very often. Maybe she was here for Easter for 3 days. And yes, they were all parked in the driveway because we didn't want to put our neighbors out by having them parked in the street. So if you look at a timestamp on that, that's after my business hours and probably a weekend. And I don't do birthday parties and everything all the time, every weekend. In fact, in the summer, we're camping, which we got our camper moved to. That's put away. So if anybody didn't want to look at that eyesore anymore, that's gone. But I do really want to be happy in this neighborhood, and I want to be happy with our neighbors. But if this is the way I'm going to be treated, I
thank you. Lady in back there.
Lisa Kelly, LASAKELLY. My address is 3348 Adams Street. I don't have a dog or a pony in this debate, but I am a neighbor. And I am also running through struggles with my own small business. So it kind of breaks my heart. This is a topic that is kind of dear to us because we hear all the time, there's nothing for kids, there's nothing for seniors. I do want you to give them a chance to at least start, and I'd also offer the opportunity. I would like to work with this community to create more opportunities for children. We've got the park coming up, but there are other places. So if you would give her a temporary chance to get this going and neighbors work with the neighbors, there's got to be some other opportunities for kids and seniors in this community, and I would like this to give her a chance to get started until she can find another location. And there's got to be something better, and I do feel for her. The animosity in the neighborhood is not great, and I'm not saying it's bad. Just as a small business person, you know, if another small business goes out, it's going to be sad. I'd like to offer the community an opportunity to come together and create something down the road, but give her a chance to keep going until that happens. Thank you.
Thank you. You had your hand up first.
Shannon Pokorski again, P-O-K-O-R-S-K-I. I wanted to speak on behalf of the parking situation. I've been to Cheryl's on the lady nights. We've always parked in the parking lot. In fact, her driveway. In fact, the very first time I ever showed up there, I was going to park on the street. She even came out and told me to park in her parking lot. With the last ladies' night we did, there were three ladies. We all parked in her driveway. Nobody was on the street. I understand these people's under concerns, but I mean, she tries her absolute best to maintain to where it's not as an inconvenience for anybody else. Thank you.
Thank you. Who hasn't spoken before that wants to speak? Because we've got several people speaking the second time. Okay, go ahead. You want to speak one more time?
Charlotte Wells, WELLS, 11081 Arrowhead Drive. So I'm going to speak up experience. So July 4th. Big stuff. There's a bunch of parties and there are a bunch of people partying on the street. It's really hard to get out, but we have to make do because I can't knock on my neighbor's door and say, hey, your party's too big. I can't do anything. I can't tell somebody that when they're just trying to celebrate a holiday or
make some money or just give some kids some opportunities and help them learn. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you. One more. Go ahead, Phil.
If I could just, excuse me, good for just for a minute. Sorry, I've been suffering from a cold. Phil Green, I'm the city administrator here. Just wanted to remind all of you, and basically for the sake of the audience, just keep in mind that residential neighborhoods are zoned for a certain purpose. You don't have the right to own a business and run a business out of a neighborhood. It has nothing to do with people coming over to visit or anything like that. It's all about a business. Now, what the zoning allows is that if you have a fairly small ancillary use that is kind of quasi-business, you can have a home occupation, and that's what she's applying for. As Jeff had mentioned at the very, very beginning, if it's a small enough entity that there's no more than four people there at a time, like, you know, someone teaching piano lessons to a couple students, things like that, you don't even have to apply for the home occupation because it's just looked at as being very, very small and ancillary. This is not like people having friends over occasionally. This is an entity that's purposely, specifically, is designed to regularly have people over, and that's the issue. I also want to remind the applicant that there's absolutely no way your neighbors could know what you're planning to do if you didn't have to apply for this, and therefore they're notified. That's why we're going through this process. And so I just encourage everyone to feel free to get up and voice your concerns, voice your opinions, but it's a real neighborhood that has real concerns, and that's what those people are expressing. It has nothing to do with being neighborly or anything else like that. It's about, do you have the right to run a small business out of your home that you've already acknowledged used to be elsewhere? You don't have to pay anymore for that rent. That's fine, but it has to qualify under the rules, and that's really what you're looking for here. And again, Jeff and I are here to answer any technical questions if you guys have more questions on these home occupations.
I got a couple. The first one is that last lot sold? If it is not, and we as a city have to uphold the covenants, because that's what I understood from the first thing, if it's not sold, then it's up to us to make a decision on the covenants, and do we have to talk to the city legal about that? Because if we have to uphold the covenants, we have to uphold the covenants.
Right. The way the covenants, when you read them, is that once all the lots are sold, the city, at the city's discretion, we don't have to enforce those covenants anymore. Jeff's exactly right. For most neighborhoods, municipalities don't enforce covenants. We did for this one because we're the ones who created the neighborhood in the first place. It's a little strange here what's happening, because part of the incentive that the city had in place was that they would allow private developers to start construction on a property before we closed on it. So he's already got a foundation in on all of the lots. One of the houses is almost completely finished. I'm not sure if it's up on the market yet or not, but the other one still just has the foundation on it. So it is a private developer's foundation on a lot that still is in the name of the city of Blair, but it's basically in process of being built on and being used. So our opinion is it's not, all the lots have been spoken for. It's under construction, and so therefore we're choosing not to enforce the covenants anymore.
So legally, I want to know legal on this, because I don't care about opinion.
Sure.
I need to know if we have to enforce the covenant.
In City Attorney Solomon's here, she can speak on it afterwards when I'm done here. Again, every homeowner that exists out there has the right to try to enforce the covenants themselves. And once we are done completely, it is going to be up to the individual homeowners. You do that through filing a civil case. Yeah. You know, and deal with it just like you do normal covenants anywhere else. This one was unique, and frankly a little unique that it even has the stipulation in it. You know, I scratched my head a little bit, going, okay, why did we put covenants that say you can't do something that our zoning book says you could do? But it specifically says that, and so it is what it is. So, again, Desiree, I don't know if you want to comment at all about, you know, from a legal perspective, are we clear from the standpoint that, yes, we haven't closed on the lot yet, but somebody else clearly is building on it, is spoken for, it's going to be their lot, so we're considering it to be sold.
This is Mary Solomon, city attorney, behalf of the city of Blair. So I'm actually the one that drafted the covenants, and when I drafted the covenants for Transformation Hills, if we went back and we looked at the meeting notes, you would see that I said they were pretty strict. When I drafted the covenants, because we were going to be the developer, you have to understand my role as a city attorney is to give the city council all the information. And so in those covenants, there were a lot of different things put in there that the city council could consider and say, yes, we want to keep that in, no, we want to keep that out. At the time, there were city council members that, just like I'm sure some of you do, or maybe I do, and you have, do you want a swimming pool in the front yard? You know, do we want to allow the big lot swimming pool in the front yard? Are we going to allow people to park campers in the front yard? So some of those were discussions. And so the covenants, when they went to the city council, it was given as a guideline. And so those things were created. There were certain things, I believe, that were taken out, and there were other things that were left in. And this is a unique situation in which you have a builder, and I don't think this picture is mostly up to date because that doesn't look like an almost complete house. It looks like a basement to me, and I have limited knowledge. But there is a question regarding the lot. Is still going to be in the city's name, but it's under contract at this particular time for somebody who has purchased it. They've started building it. Once they complete that, it gets sold. And it's going to transfer over. There's been some other communications that were had regarding these lots back when Rod Storm was there. I'm going to speak as your legal advisor, and I think, you know, obviously this Planning Commission can make its recommendation to the City Council, but as far as the legalities are concerned, it would be something that I would want to look at, specifically the contract that this individual sold, to give my specific legal opinion. Certainly you have the ability to table this item for a month if you want to table it, or you can vote on it, because obviously the City Council, I'm not taking anything away from this Planning Commission whatsoever. But certainly you have the ability, there's a lot of people that are here, but you can table it and we can factor through that. So you have options. You can go forward today and make its recommendation, and obviously by the time it goes to the City Council, I'll have, this goes, is it the, help me out, 9 plus 14, 23rd? I'm trying to do the math in my head.
Good job.
Obviously, by the 23rd, I would be able to advise the City Council. But again, I don't want to do any disrespect to the Planning Commission either regarding that. We have changed our structure. It used to be you folks would make your recommendation, and then right away, the very next week, it would go before the City Council. But we've changed that process. So I can tell you that I would have be able to make a formal legal opinion to the City Council by the 23rd when this would go forward. So just so you folks have all the information in front of you. And I do want to address, well, how did these covenants come to be right here? And I can tell you some things were taken out. There were a couple things taken out, but some of them stayed.
Thank you. Okay. Did I answer the question?
Yep.
We still have a public meeting. Is there anyone else like to speak on this that's hopefully different than what we've all been talking about? But if you want to speak, please come up. Looks like I don't see any, so I'm going to close the public hearing. Okay, Planning Commission, what do you want to do in this issue?
I don't like, it seems like this is covenants, this is a neighborhood issue, not an issue for us.
I agree.
Why we're here, I can understand. So we got two different things going on. If it is passed, my recommendation is if there is a parking complaint, then it's null and void. Because that's the only issue I hear. Anybody else? Joe?
I thoroughly believe that If it is a covenants issue and we're responsible for the covenants, then we have to enforce the covenants. And with that, if she can have a legal opinion to go to council. If we vote to pass it or even say no and not pass it, it's still going to go to the city council. If she can get the legal opinion to them by then, they can make the decision. But looking at the covenants, I can't.
Speaking from some experience I've had before, you don't always enforce all your covenants because you got to go. And so sometimes covenants just, they're there and someone can sue for it, but unless someone sues, sometimes it doesn't matter. And I don't know the city, just because someone, because there's probably some other covenants that aren't, that are going wrong there, and the city, if they don't go after it, at that time too, it just doesn't force you to go after them. The covenant's wrong, I don't think. Anyway, any other comments from the Planning Commission before we decide what to do?
I'm a Jill. I'd like to understand more of the covenants myself. We're going to be required to enforce those. That's probably my number one concern. If we have not conveyed that total ownership to that developer yet, that leaves some gray area for me personally. But
I guess, yeah, if all the covenants are always enforced, but if they're not all enforced, I don't think this is the moment
right. We
worry about that. Just because, like you said, some people enforce some people enforce others.
If it's covenants with the city, we have to enforce all the covenants. If they're in charge of, I know from the covenants that I have to tear something down because of covenant. And then 3 years later, my neighbor builds something that's twice as big and they don't have to. Down.
Yeah, and I don't want to set that precedent.
And I'm not going to set the precedent. No. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah. Anyway, does someone want to make a motion or for something?
Oh. I got two different things going on.
Well, if not, I'm going to make a motion to approve the CUP as presented for 1 year. Does anyone want to second that?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion made by Bozer, seconded by Pounds. Is there any further discussion before we vote on this issue? Any amendments? Please vote. He's trying to figure out what to vote, how to vote.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm laying on both sides of this, folks. I don't want to see us lose a good business, but I also want to be respectful to the landowners that are around them, too, at the same time.
It's not an easy one. No,
it's not.
Commission members present voting aye, Pounds, Boziger, voting nay, Huber, Kading, Radner, Schroeder, abstaining, Pileska.
So it looks like the motion fails. Is there any other motion that wants to be made? So I guess we're going to send to the council that we do not recommend passing this CUP. Is that?
Yes, that is correct. The city council meeting, April 23rd, the council will take your recommendation and they will vote. They are the voting body, just to let everybody behind us know that they are the voting body. But they will act upon your recommendation one way or the other.
Yeah. Right.
Typically, the planning commission items have been first up, so I would count on this being possibly right close to 7 o'clock as possible on April 23rd here in the city council chamber.
Jeff, let the audience know that they can come and testify against you if they want.
Oh, yeah. And just like tonight, anybody can come reiterate what their feelings, one way or the other, and it'll be much like this. It's the same thing as a public hearing, but just before the city council.
Right. Thank you. Is there a staff report today?
No.
Who would like to adjourn this meeting?
I'd I make a motion, we adjourn.
Motion by Katie. Schroeder, seconded. Please vote. Katie and Schroeder. I want to thank the audience for being part of this, and it'll go to City Council on the 23rd, and if you want to like to speak during their public meeting, go ahead, feel free.